Into, do you remember last week I told you that I'd said then that the Lord had showed me something on Monday? That would be now 2 Mondays ago that I want to share with you. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you a picture of humility and a picture of pride. This is something that it was an understanding that the Lord gave me. It wasn't like He gave me the picture. So I'm taking a little bit of license by putting it into a picture form, but it's just the way my mind formulated it. He gave me an understanding. I was like, wow, Lord, I see it. And I mean, it was just like this really complete understanding of what humility is and what it looks like and what pride is and what it looks like. And then that my mind was just like, well, that's just like this and like that. You know, so my mind kind of created this picture, and that's what I'm going to be showing you. But just understand that it's extremely difficult to try and put humility into a picture. So loose gracious in the concept of it. Don't like put too much on it, but I think you'll get it. There are two ways. This is something I got in that understanding as the Lord was laying it on me. I realized there are two ways, and I think this is now that I think about it, this was my prayer, Lord, how do we develop humility? How do we cultivate more humility and less pride in our life? And I think a lot of this is going to seem really obvious to you. I don't know, but even at the risk of sounding obvious, I'm just going to move forward because this is what I got. And to me, it, even though maybe a lot of it is obvious, it crystallized it for me. It just really crystallized the whole concept. So here's the thing. There are two main ways that we can cultivate humility, directly and indirectly. What I mean by directly is to focus on, learn and understand what exactly is Bible humility, biblical humility. I say that just to differentiate from any other definitions the world would come up with, because we're not talking about that. You know, people may have all kinds of different ideas, including ourselves, because we're raised in the same culture. We have a concept of humility. And I think if we were to act that out, I said this in the very first message, if a person was to say, if you were to say, how would you describe or how would you see a human being if they were like really humble, what would they look like? You know, would it be like this or something else? I think the way we all would see it is, would it be head down or head up? Head down. If you had a tail, where would it be? Between your legs, right? It says, this real kind of, I'm just a nobody, you know. That's a worldly concept of humility. And I want to encourage you, take that idea and throw it as far away as you can throw it. That's not a biblical view of humility. Now, that said, many things that I'm going to say are going to kind of sound like that. Just know, that's not what we're talking about. All right? So the direct way to understand humility is study it and understand what it is, what the Bible actually says humility is. All right? So that's the direct way. We need to understand it to be able to espouse it, embrace it, encourage it, develop it in our life. All right? That's the direct way. The indirect way is to learn and understand and unmask pride. Go after pride, understand what pride is so that we can identify it in its multiplicity of manifestations and cut its head off. If we, like I gave you that example last week where I caught myself starting to, it was at the family get together, the Thanksgiving, you know, and there was something going on, and you know, I was trying to help out in the kitchen, and everybody else was in the living room just chilling out, having fun, laughing, carrying on. I think there may have been one other person in the kitchen with me besides this other person, so total of three of us. And I was just trying to help out, and not that it's like it's their job and I'm trying to help them. I mean, you know, I'm there to help, everyone else is in the living room not helping. So I thought, you know, this is a good thing, I'm helping. And then something was said, it was like, well, why haven't you done this yet? And I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was expected. I thought I was, you know, just helping. But anyhow, that was cool. But then I went away and I was gone for a little while trying to find something in the food pantry. And then I had a feeling when I came back, a comment was going to be made like, hey, why'd you leave me for so long or something like that. And I started getting a little bit frustrated about this idea, like this whole thing's turning on me. I'm trying to, you know, be helpful. And I found myself getting a little bit worked up, just a little. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was getting worked up. And then I went, hey, that is stinking thinking. And what is it? It's pride. We can call it all kinds of other things, but it's pure pride. Pride, its nature is self-glorification. That's what pride is. It's self-glorification. And if anyone says anything that would take away from what a great guy I am going to get angry. That's pure pride. And pride, as we studied a couple weeks ago, the origin of it is a person named Satan. He literally created it in his heart, breathed it into the heart of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And every time we act on that, it is literally a satanic event that's happening within our flesh. We're allowing it to happen. And we read from James chapter 3, it's exactly how James describes it, that this kind of activity is sensual, he says, and demonic. He says it is demonic when we do it. That attitude, that mindset that was starting to happen inside of me is literally a demonic dart that's been cast into my mind. And it's my job to take that dart and cast it down. Casting down every thought and imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God or the Word of God. What does the Word say? This thought is absolutely trying to take ascendancy over that. The Word says we should esteem others better than ourselves. The Word says that everything we do should be to the glory of the Father. Do you think attacking a family member would be to the glory of the Father? Do you think it would be to the glory of the devil? Absolutely. He would love it. That's what he wants. He wants division, hatred, envy, strife. And we become an instrument of the enemy when we give in to that. Now, we justify so much of our actions. We're like, they deserve it. They need to hear from me. And we don't realize we're totally being used by the enemy. 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 5, I think, verse 25-ish, talks about the children of God. He's talking about a child of God being taken captive by Satan to do his will. We never, someone please make sure, check that for me. Was it not, there's not even five chapters there, is there? Correct, there is not five chapters? I don't know if that's correct, you were correct. Okay, so let me find it for you since I just, that's what I thought when I said it. There is five, I think, in the first one. So it's chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. It's 25 and 26. So, anyhow, yeah, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and 26 talks about those who are in opposition and how they are being taken captive by the enemy. So it's just a couple verses to show you, we literally can be used by Satan to do his will instead of doing the will of the Father. So if we start to identify, we study pride, identify pride, and get good at, you know, that opportunity right there, by the fact that I've been really thinking about this subject of pride and humility really brought my mind quicker to, made it more attentive to what was happening so I could cut it off right there. And by cutting that off, what I did was we gave place to humility. And that's what we do. This is how we cultivate humility. We understand, we study and understand humility and go after that. We also understand pride and cut its head off, which produces more humility, because humility is the absence of pride. That could very well be a perfect definition for humility. What is humility? The absence of pride. So these are two ways we can cultivate humility. Go after humility itself, learn what the biblical definition of humility is, understand that and go after it, and also understand what pride is and start to starve it out, cut it off out of our life. Now, when I talked about the physical description of someone who's humble, you know, head down, tail tucked between the legs, and I said, just throw that out. Let me give you another way to understand what humility is and what it's not. The greatest, most humble person that ever walked this planet, his name is Jesus. Just look at him. Do you see him as someone whose head is down and tail tucked between his legs? He's the perfect picture of humility. Did you see a beaten down person who feels worthless and just worth nothing? Or did you see a strong, confident person? I mean, as strong as they come. He walked around, people could attack him, insult him. Didn't faze him. He stood strong, head high, not nose high. That's the difference. But head high, strong, walking strong as can be. Perfectly confident. And yet, perfect humility. He is the picture of humility. So when you start to get a little confused, like, is this humility? Think of Jesus and say, does that kind of match up with him? And if it doesn't, just know, okay, apparently that's not it. I'm still missing what humility is. So just another little helpful thing, think about Jesus every time you think about humility. He is the perfect example of humility. Okay, here we go. Let me dive into exactly what the Lord showed me. I mean, that's part of it, just understanding this, how to cultivate it. We develop the one, cut off the head of the other. But here's what the Lord showed me about humility. Basically, number one is that pride and humility trying to get this on the screen. When I click on Agatha's iMac, okay. There we go. Pride and humility are both mirrors. They reflect how we view ourselves and the world around us. Pride and humility, this is what the Lord showed me. They're both mirrors. There's two ways of seeing it. It's the way you see the world and yourself, which means they're both mirrors reflecting how you see yourself and the world around you. I don't know if that makes sense. It can be said either way. It's how you see the world and yourself. So it's, but when as he was showing it to me, it just, I got it. I'm like, well, Lord, they're literally reflections of how I see myself, which means they're both mirrors. Pride and humility are both mirrors reflecting how we see ourselves. Now, here's the picture of humility. This is a picture of humility. What is the backdrop, the canvas that holds it all together? What is the backdrop? This is you, how you see yourself, if you and I, how we see ourselves when we're walking in true humility. And to those of you who are watching online, and by the way, something we started to do, Craig is making this happen, which is just awesome, is whenever I have images like this now, I'm adding them onto the website. So it's, they're not like when you play the sermon, they're not coming up because we don't have video, we just have audio. But when you click on the sermon, you'll notice that above that sermon series, there'll be images. So you can just click on them and open them and see them at least. So then when you're listening to the sermon, you'll understand what it is that we're talking about. So isn't that awesome? Thank you, Craig. So, by the way, Craig, we need to get these up, so I'll make sure I get these to you. And if I haven't sent them to you, like, soon, email me. Hey, how about those images? All right, so here's the first one. To describe it quickly, the backdrop is the picture of God. He fills the entire screen. God is behind everything. And then overlaid on that are five other pictures. You probably feel like you only see four. Do you see a fifth? Okay. There's five pictures on there, and we're going to start with the bottom left picture. The bottom left, these are the four people. Just go with me here. These are the four people throughout your years of school. One is from your grade school. One from your high school. The other two are from college days. And these are the ones who inspired you, challenged you, and encouraged you like none other. They were that special person or people in your life. They are, as a result, forever a part of the fabric of your thinking today. The bottom right picture, a group of 8 or 10 people there. This picture is made up of one grade school teacher that you will never forget. There are two co-workers in this picture from previous jobs, two different jobs, one co-worker from each one of two different co-workers from previous jobs, one that was an absolute angel, and the other that made your life a living hell for 2.5 years on that job, and you begged God every day to get you out of that job. This was that person that was over you and made your life a living hell, and yet God did not seem to answer that prayer to get you out of that job. The other people in the picture, the several that are left, are the most precious Christ-exemplifying people that you have ever met, who were part of the couple different church families that you were in over the years, churches that you attended. All who are in this picture are people that God used to play significant roles in your life. The top right, these are the ones that have been around since you were born. This top right picture consisting of, you know, maybe 20 people in the picture. These are the people that have been around since the day you were born and will be a part of your life forever. These are your family, your relatives. These are your parents, your grandparents. And if you're a parent, these are your children and your grandchildren. These are your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your uncles, your nephews, your nieces. Some that you see daily, some that you haven't seen for 10 years. But just the knowledge that they are here on this earth and that they know and love you provides you a sense of peace and comfort to your soul, even if it's just on a subconscious level, just knowing I'm not alone on this earth. There are people on this earth who know me and love me. And over the years, one by one, they have sown into your life, helping to fashion the person that you are today. All the design of God. Then there is that one in the upper left-hand corner, the single older gentleman who, while at the park, you saw sitting on the bench and you felt drawn, even compelled, to talk to him. Who spoke that one liner of wisdom that went deep into your heart and thus into your life. A pearl of wisdom that formed a life value that you have lived by ever since. He was, by the way, an angel. I mean a literal angel that God sent for you that day. All of these are just a smidgen of the people God has used that make up the tapestry of your heart today. The value system that you espouse, the truths that you embrace, the behaviors that you have rejected, and other behaviors that you have taken on, that you have adopted, all of which play a major role in making up the person that you are today. And notice that there is one more picture, and that is the picture of you. You're there in that picture, but not in any significant way. Remember, this is the picture of humility. This is the mindset of a person walking in true humility. This is how you see your life. You're there. You're absolutely there. I mean, you're fully aware that you're there, but not in some big way. It's not this big, significant role. You recognize properly, proportionately, your role in life. You're just one amongst many people in life, and your life is precious to God. You know that. You're good. You're safe. You're secure. But you don't have to make your life this big thing. It's just like, no, I mean, I've got my part. I'm good. God loves me. I'm great. But all these other people play such a major role in my life. And so your focus is not on you. Your focus is on primarily on God and all the others whom you and I owe so much. This is the picture of a humble person. This is how they see themselves and the world around them. They very accurately see themselves as a recipient of gifts given to them by God and the influences of the relationships in their lives. And the choices that they've made within those relationships and those influences. Our life is made up of all of these things around us, all the events that have taken place in our life, all the relationships that we have had around our life, all of God's moving upon our life, and the choices we've made within each one of those relationships, each one of those events. So you could have two people with the exact same scenario, exact same events, exact same relationships, but the outcome's not going to be exactly the same because we have a part to play. It has to do with the choices that we make in and amongst all of those situations, all of those relationships. But regardless, the end product of who you and I are today is a result of all of these influences. Pride forgets all of these people and all of these influences. Pride says, I am what I am by my own doing. I made myself this way. I worked hard. I studied. I made these choices. I. Pride is literally, utterly blind to the reality of the life that is around it. It cannot see the forest for the tree of self. Humility, on the other hand, remembers and acknowledges God. It remembers and acknowledges all of the relationships, all of the teachers, all of the coaches, all of the nursery people, that, you know, the church members, the friends in school, the uncles that have spoken certain words into their life. It recognizes just very humbly that I am the product of all of these things in my life. I didn't just make myself up. You know, pride says, no, I made myself. I mean, I am who I am because of I made these choices, and literally just refuses to acknowledge the truth that we are who we are because of all of these influences around our life. Pride is rebellion against God because its attitude is one to take all glory to itself, all glory that belongs solely to God. We literally, apart from God, are nothing. Now, this isn't just, oh yeah, I'm just going to agree with that because then it's humble. You have to really realize this. I mean, this is true. A person who's walking in true humility really realizes, apart from God, I am nothing. Now, pride is offended at that statement. So if you are at all offended, to the degree you're offended, recognize that's pride. Sorry if that's bad news, but if you're finding some offense to this, that's pride. Pride hates that statement. Apart from God, I am nothing. But let me just try to help you out to understand that. You say, well, I'm an intelligent person. I mean, I should have some credit for that. Where'd your intelligence come from? Your brain, did you fashion that? How'd you start that? Is it like yarn? Did you start with yarn and then you poured over some liquid concoction that created it into living membrane? I mean, how'd you do that? You know, well, I'm really athletic. I mean, I'm great at sports. That's awesome. Where'd that talent come from? Did you do that? Well, I'm beautiful. I'm handsome. That's great. Not even denying it. Did you do that? You see what I'm saying? Everything we have came from God. So apart from God, we're nothing. I mean, all we are just a few synapses away from in a wheelchair drooling out of one side of my mouth. Just a few synapses short of that. Everything we have, our creativity, our creative ability, our ability to teach, communicate, play instruments, play sports, they're all gifts from God. And so apart from Him, we're nothing. Pride doesn't see any of this. Let me give you another picture. This is just one, because you can only do so much when you try and put it in a picture. Let me give you another picture of humility. Here's another picture of humility. Do you see you still in there? Huh? Raise your hand if you see you. Two of you. Anyone else? Because you are in there still. Right up there. Do you see it? It doesn't say anything. It's just a picture. The same picture of you that was in the first one. Do you see you in this one? I don't have my fancy thing, so I can't point to it anyhow. Okay, you're right here. Do you see you right there? Okay, just that one single face. That's you. Now, do you see you again? Top right, basically. There you go. Thank you. There you go. Nice. Hard to do it from back there, isn't it? Or you had too much coffee. I'm not sure what it is. So there you are. Okay, now what's this? This is another perfect picture of humility. I got this job because I'm great at this. That's why I got hired for this job. I mean, I'm the best at logistics. I'm the best at engineering. I'm the best nurse around. That's why I got hired for this job. No, honestly, the truth. Now, that's pride. Pride is blind. Pride is stupid. Humility actually sees things correctly. Humility says, no, the reality is there's about 3.7 million people in the United States alone, just talking about the United States, that are actually as good or even better than you are who didn't apply for that job. That's why you have the job. Mainly because mostly they're in other states. Not even logical that they would apply for that job. And most of them already have jobs because they're actually very good at what they do. So there were 10 people that applied for your job, and you were the most qualified for those 10. But just remember, and that's probably a very conservative number, there's probably actually about 5.2 million who are actually as good or better than you are at your job. Now, if you're offended by that statement, guess what? To that degree, that literally is pride. Pride's offended at these kinds of statements. Humility says, I'm good with that. I knew that all along. I know there are tens of thousands, I'm trying to guess how many preachers there would be in the United States. There are tens of thousands of preachers far better at teaching the Word of God than I am. I really, truly know that. Let me tell you, I have zero problem with that. In fact, I love it. Now, it's a little easier for me to say that because it's the kingdom of God that's being advancing. And I want, but still, you know, I just thought of, I guess you could be very prideful about that, even though, I mean, that's really jacked up. You're prideful of that in the kingdom of God, that you want to be the best preacher there is. Man, you talk about an ugly pride. It's like, I don't even give a rip about God or his kingdom. Oh, it's about me. I want people to know that I'm the greatest. You know, I mean, it's just stupid. It's stupid, stupid, stupid. I should be rejoicing that there are many other preachers out there that are better at communicating the gospel than I am. That is awesome. Now, I don't mean to use myself as an example on the good side. I could use many examples of me where I'm not thinking correctly, not doing it right, where I am in pride. But this is truth. This is reality. I'm just trying to get to you. This is what the Lord was just kind of flooding my mind with. Humility sees everything accurately. Pride is blinded by self. So here's the picture of pride. You ready for the picture of pride? You're looking into the mirror of humility. This is what you see. It's the truth. It's reality. There are thousands, tens of thousands, even millions of people that can do exactly what I do. You know, great example? Yesterday, during the ball game. You know, when this season started, 12 days before the football season started for the Buckeyes, our star quarterback ripped something in his shoulder, and we all freaked. We're like, oh my gosh, there goes our season. We just lost our best quarterback. So the second string, who was the third string, but just last minute, the coach switched and decided he's probably the next best, became the second string, was, what's his name? JT. See, I already forgot his name. JT Barrett, he steps up. And halfway through the season, people start talking Heisman possibilities. I mean, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, I wonder if we're even going to bring Braxton back next year. I mean, all of a sudden, this guy is Heisman material. Last game of the season, he breaks his ankle. Everybody freaks out. We're going into the playoffs. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? Third string quarterback steps up and smokes both the first and the second string quarterback in all of his statistics. He broke both of their records in one game. First game. Humility sees the picture accurately. There's a bunch of folks out there that can do what I do. Here's pride. Pride looks in the mirror, and this is what pride sees. That's the picture of pride. That's all pride sees. Me. For those of you online, oh, that last picture, by the way, of humility was one, you're in there, a crowd of a million people. This picture, the only thing you can see in the entire picture is your eyes and your nose. It's about all you can see. It fills the whole screen. Just a section of your face fills the entire screen. This is like those, you know, you go to the state fair and those mirrors that just blow everything out of proportion. You get in there, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, you back up and it's kind of fun just to play with. That is a perfect picture of pride. That's the mirror of pride. It's me. Woo! I feel the whole thing. I can't see anybody else in my world. I don't see God. Do you see God in this picture? I don't see God. I don't see anybody else. All the influences of my life. No, it's me. I did this. I'm the greatest. This is pride. Pride, it's all it sees is itself. It's literally blind to everything else. As a result of this, as I started to get this, I found myself like getting an understanding. I started writing some definitions. I was in bed, it was late at night. I grabbed the pen. I just started writing them down. This means pride is, humility is. So I started writing these definitions. I'm just going to share this with you in closing. I've already kind of said this part, but pride is looking into a distorted mirror which magnifies you to such a degree that you cannot see anyone else, not even God. This is what I got from the Lord, and then I had that idea of that picture, right? That's how I ended up forming that picture. Whatever part of you that you put in front of that mirror, it distorts. You may focus on a particular talent of yours, and when you see it through the eyes of pride, it totally distorts it. You don't even see it accurately. Humility is not self-debasing. Don't get this wrong. This is not what it is. This is really fascinating. When I got this from the Lord, I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord. It's just like so obvious. And you start, when you think humility, you think, beat yourself up. And the Lord is like, no. That's not what humility is. It's not self-debasing at all. It simply takes into account all things accurately. That's all it's doing. Here's a real simple way of seeing it. Humility is just correct. It just sees things correctly. That's all. It's nothing more than that. Don't go any further beyond that. It just sees it correctly. Don't say, oh, I'm no good. I can't play any sports. I can't teach. I can't. No, that's not it. What is it? Whatever it is, that's what it is. Are you good at athletics? Great. You're good at athletics. It doesn't make it lower than you are. The Word of God doesn't say, it says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, right? Does it say, but rather think lower of yourself than you ought to, or lower of yourself than what is accurate? No, it just says, don't think higher of yourself than you ought to. All it's saying is think accurately. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that's really exactly what it says. It's really a powerful story. I didn't even realize that until the Lord showed me this. All of a sudden, I started thinking about that verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this. This is really good. This is exactly what Paul is saying in this verse. For I say, in fact, it's really beautiful how Romans 12 starts off. It starts off by saying, now listen, it's painting the proper picture, saying this is the mindset all of us should have. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. First step, bow before the Almighty God. Take him, make sure he's in your thinking. Front and center, God. You know that picture of humility? There's God. He's front and center. Okay, first order of business. If you're going to think right, lay yourself before God. Make sure you remember who's God and who's not. You bow, not the other way around. Bow before God. And do not be conformed to this world, which wants to say, you are everything. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, now listen, it's a lead into this, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You know what that word soberly? It's really phenomenal. It's the Greek word sophroneo. I can't remember now. Yeah, sophroneo. 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 And it means to be of the right mind, i.e., sane. The word means to be sane. So what's Paul saying? Don't be insane in your thinking. In fact, if you look at Mark chapter 5, verse 15, is where Jesus, there's a man that's fully demon-possessed, completely out of his mind. And Jesus casts 2,000 demons out of this guy. I'm telling you, that would make you a little crazy. He cast 2,000 demons out of this guy, and they go into these pigs, and the pigs go nuts and run off a cliff, right? And the townspeople, like the guys who owned the pigs, ran into the town, told the whole town what happened. The whole town comes out, and it says, and they saw the man who was this crazy man sitting and in his sober, sophroneo mind. Same word. The guy was nuts. Before, and according to the biblical definition, That's the picture of a person who's in pride. That's how nuts they are in the eyes of God. You've completely lost all, what's that called? You know, like, bearings. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. You've lost all bearings to who you really are. You're awesome. I made you. What do you think? Duh, I'm God. You're awesome. I'm not trying to take away from your awesomeness. You're special. I'm not trying to take away from your specialness, God would say to us. You are precious in my eyes. But when you start thinking this like you're the greatest there is and all that kind of stuff, I mean, the devil's just, he's just slinging you around. You're not even thinking sane anymore. Let's just say you happen to be the greatest athlete that ever was. The greatest whatever. Logistics person, the greatest IT person, the greatest whatever, greatest singer there ever was. Where did that come from? It still came from God. So there's still zero cause to be prideful of that. If anything, it should just make you fall on your face and say, Lord, thank you that you saw me fit to take responsibility for a gift this incredible. And make sure that when people praise you for it, you just, you know, you understand they're just trying to be nice to you. So but say, amen, praise God, thank you for that. It's really nice. And just let it flow right up to the King where it belongs. All glory belongs to the Father. So here he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but think sanely. Like, be sane about your thinking. That's all. Just remember that there's a whole crowd of people capable of doing what you do. You know, when that guy runs down, so let me finish some definitions. Okay, so humility is not self-debasing. It simply takes into account all things accurately. Now, here's a little bit longer definition of it, and then I'm going to go shorter. Just kind of looking at this from several angles. Humility is the result of having an understanding of one's state before God and others. Humility. If you have humility, if we're walking in humility, it's the result of having an understanding of one's state before God. And what is that? That he is incredible beyond comprehension, and I'm just his creature. He's the creator. I'm the creature. All right? I've got that straight. Having an understanding of one's state before God and others. Meaning, there's a bunch of people that are just as capable or even more than what I do. I mean, I got, you know, it's having an understanding. The difficulty lies in obtaining this understanding accurately, for at every new revelation of others and especially of God, we realize once again just how inaccurate we were. How's that for a definition of humility? That was a prideful statement, by the way. Okay, here it is, a little bit more reduced. Humility puts all things into perspective. That's just making it shorter and simpler. I wanted to give a little more rounded out one, but now I'm making it shorter. Humility puts all things into perspective. That's all it's doing. Again, it doesn't go lower than it is. It's simply stating it the way it actually is. Nothing less and nothing more. Just the way it actually is. That's humility. Humility just, yeah, that's how it is. And I'm good with that. We should be good with no matter what it is. Maybe you are the one with two talents and the guy sitting next to you has the five. Say, I'm good with that. Praise God, I don't have to be responsible for five of them. He does. I only have two. You know, Jesus, when the guy who made five more, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. The next guy, he only made two. What did he get from the Lord? The same praise. But he only made two. Yeah, well, he only had two to start with. So he got the same praise from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. The Lord only looks to you for based on what he gave you. So just say, praise God, Lord. I want to make sure that I just am pleasing to you with what I have. And I praise you for that, Lord. Humility puts all things into perspective. Here's another even tighter definition of it. Humility is acutely circumspect. Humility is acutely circumspect. It sees it all, takes it all in. Pride is acutely self-absorbed. Closing practical example, an example of how we see pride acting out versus humility. All right, so, you know, any number of those plays, I don't know if you paid attention to this, but you saw several times when people made a touchdown or just sack the quarterback. There was this one guy in particular, I won't say any names. Every time he sacked the quarterback, he literally grabbed his uniform and his shoulder, and he's like, push his chest out. Did you see that? Several times. He's like, I was like, oh my gosh. It's all me. You know? So here it is. The guy runs down the field. Maybe he's a fullback. He cuts through. He drives 40. He runs 45 yards and makes a touchdown, right? And he starts celebrating, you know, and he's like, you know, the one guy, he stiffens up and then he throws the football like this. And it's like, yeah, looks up at the audience. Yeah, you know, it's all me. What he's forgetting, now that's pure pride. What he's forgetting is the other six mammoth beasts that took out six of the 11 guys on the team, six or more, all right? So they wiped out six of them that he didn't even have to contend with, all of which would have smashed him like a bug. But his six beasts on his team laid them to waste. Two of the other people on the defensive side were on the opposite side of the field that he ran. So he had a 25-yard head start on those two. How many does that leave? That's eight. Three more. His lead runner lays to waste one of those. That leaves two guys. And as he's running down that, now he also has the element of surprise. He knows which way he's going to cut. They don't. And he makes it through two guys, forgetting also that that's only one in 48 runs that he succeeds, which means 47 out of 48 times he fails to do that. That's seeing all things accurately. So what does humility do? He makes it into the end zone. He immediately turns around and starts to go after his other guys. He says, Bob, that was awesome, dude. You laid that guy to waste. Tim, if you hadn't cut that corner off, dude, he had me dead in his crosshairs. You were awesome. And he runs back to the offensive line. You guys are the best. We did it. That's humility. Humility sees all things accurately and says, we did it. I just had my one little part, but man, I'm useless without you guys. I could do. They would just smash me like a pancake every single play if you guys didn't do your part. Isn't that exactly what would happen every single time? Imagine the offensive line just kind of, go ahead, man. Go ahead. You just let them all through. What's going to happen to that fullback 100% of the time? It'll be a loss of yards. He could start on their 5-yard line. He'd end up back in his own end zone every single time. It's all of us. We work together. Humility sees everything accurately. Pride dances in the end zone. It's all me. So that's the picture of pride. It's all you can see is yourself. Humility sees the whole picture and just takes it all in and enjoys it. And you know what? You may kind of think, well, this is kind of messing me up. And it really does tend to mess up most of us because we don't even realize how much we've been operating in pride. We live our life by it. And now this kind of shakes our foundation. Well, man, this is a whole different way of thinking. It is. And we should go after it with everything we've got and strip pride out of our life. Pride is like a cancer that has, metastasized throughout our entire body. It's everywhere. It's in all of our thinking. And when we start to understand it, just understand, it's like the Word of God is the chemotherapy or the radiation of heaven that just kills. But unlike the barbaric process our actual medical community has. This actually only kills the pride and leaves everything else that's pure and perfect health. Studying humility, understanding pride, will begin to just destroy pride's effect in our life and let humility ride. Humility is freed. It takes, this is what I was trying to say, we may feel like, oh man, this is messing with my world. What it's going to mess with is all the bondage you and I don't even realize we're walking in every day of our life. Pure bondage. We've got to maintain this image that we've built and constructed. Humility says, I don't have any image to maintain. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and taking on the form of a servant. He says, let this mind be in you. Make yourself of no reputation. The only reason we get offended when someone says, you know, I like this preacher better than I like your preaching. The reason I could get offended by that is because I am making myself, I want a particular reputation. And I've got to maintain this. And you're messing with my reputation. If you make yourself of no reputation, you have no reputation to maintain. You just say, I have nothing to prove, only someone to please. That's my life. I have nothing to prove, only someone to please. I serve an audience of one. And if our focus would just be about pleasing God, serving God. God, I thank you for the gifts that I have, and I want to do whatever I can to make my gifts shine for the glory of you alone. All glory to you. That's what I want to do. That's all I care about. And if people say they don't like my teaching, they don't like my particular style, that's all right. I mean, that's why God gave you all kinds of different preachers to go to. I'm just going to do the best I can with what I have. And Lord, I hope it's pleasing to you. And the Lord would say, that is pleasing to me. Amen? You guys made me late. Praise God. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful truth in your word that just sets us free. Just like you said, your truth sets us free. God, this has been so freeing for me. At least I can speak for myself. This has been so freeing. Lord, we thank you for this word. We pray your blessing on it. We pray that this seed, Father, would take root in our hearts. We ask for it to be sealed by the Holy Spirit now in the name of Jesus. It would not be lost, but that it would grow in us and produce abundant fruit in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to identify pride when we see it, when it starts to rear up in our flesh. Help us to identify it so we can cut its head off. We can make the decisive choice to say no to pride and yes to humility. That we, Lord, would be so much more usable vessels in your hand as a result. Wow, that makes us, you realize humility makes us safe for God to use in great ways. We will not steal the glory that belongs to him, and the devil can't get anything in you to take you down if we walk in humility. Amen.